Hi everybody, welcome very, very much to the Andrews Walk-in Commemorative Conference here at the University of Oxford. My name is Claire Chambers and I'm the convener of the conference, and I really want to welcome you. It's really great to have everybody here. Now, this conference has been made possible by lots of people. Firstly, by the new Centre for the Study of Social Justice here in Oxford, which is the part of Oxford I come from. But also by a generous grant from the Feminist Review Trust, which exists to fund research and scholarly activity into all aspects of gender. It's also been made possible by a grant from the Aster Fund, which supports visitors to the university from the US. So I want to thank those supporters very much. But of course this conference is also only made possible by the speakers who have come to talk to us, and by you, the delegates, who have come to listen to the speakers and to hopefully share in the discussion. So it's really great to have so many people here, and I'm really grateful to you all for coming. I'm not going to say too much about Andrews Walk-in now. I'm going to leave that to the speakers and to the discussion over the rest of the day. But I'm just going to say a few things just to start us off. Well, Andrews Walk-in was born in 1946 and died tragically last year, almost exactly a year ago. And during that time, she published both fiction and non-fiction, and she made numerous speeches and articles and so on. And her work covered many aspects of gender inequality, including intercourse, domestic violence, prostitution, rape and pornography, as well as racism in general and anti-Semitism in particular, and the phenomenon of right-wing women. And her work was and continues to be both fiercely controversial but also deeply influential. Well, I've had some of the kind of experience of her work being deeply influential from personally letters that I've had written to me since I've organised the conference. Several delegates wrote to me to say that they wish they could come, but they couldn't. Some delegates even sent the registration fee as a kind of supporting of the conference, despite the fact that they weren't able to come. One would-be delegate, whose name is Shirley Gillett, wrote to me to tell me that she was unable to come to the conference, but she said, "I'd do almost anything to be at the conference, because Andrews Walk-in quite literally saved my life." And she gave me permission to quote from her letter, which I'll just do so now. She said, "I owe her a tremendous debt, which I can never repay. I do not want her work to be lost. If the work of the great 19th century feminists like Josephine Butler had been available to me when I was sexually battered and tyrannised as an adolescent, I might not have lost all my self-esteem and hope. Thank God I did at last find Andrea Dworkin's work, which kept me from almost certain death. I realise this sounds melodramatic, but I'm not exaggerating. Her writings led me to work on behalf of other women, and they also led me to rediscover the buried work of earlier feminists, to return to university as a mature student, and to pursue these studies academically. Andrea's work is intellectually stimulating, challenging, and daring. It's also compassionate, loving, and remarkably practical. The extent to which I have travelled away from the abyss, I owe in large part to Andrea Dworkin and to her courage in the face of violence, vindictiveness, and lies about who she was and what she represented." And that's kind of a taste, I think, of some of the loyalty and devotion that Andrea Dworkin has inspired among many feminists. But I mentioned earlier that her work has also been fiercely controversial, and so it is. She's often been the victim of malicious or uninformed criticism, so much so that Julie Bindle is going to speak later on myths about Andrea Dworkin. But even among sympathetic feminist readers, she's still extremely controversial, and many people don't agree with her. Her position on pornography is perhaps the most famously controversial, and some speakers today are going to engage on that issue. And in general, I think her uncompromising and radical stance is one that many feminists have found difficult. So when I organised this conference, it wasn't my aim that all the speakers or all delegates should necessarily agree with everything that Andrea Dworkin wrote, or all aspects of her work. My aim, rather, was that we would all be united by the sense that her work was very important, that the issues she raised were crucially important, and that we would all come together to discuss the problems we find in her work, as well as the inspiration that we found in it together. Indeed, one of my inspirations for the conference was something that Germaine Greer said in an obituary of Andrea Dworkin last year. She said, "It is to be hoped that Dworkin will be commemorated in the only way she would have wanted, by republication of all 13 of her works and a serious attempt to engage with her arguments regardless of how disturbing we find them." I hope that's what we can do together today. Well, just a few kind of housekeeping things. That mention of republication of Andrea Dworkin's work brings me on to draw your attention to the fact that we have a number of books and other leaflets outside at the back there. I hope people have seen them. We've got copies of Andrea Dworkin's memoir, Heartbreak, and published in the first time in the UK, available for you to buy at a discount. We also have inspection copies of Catherine McKinnon's new book, Are Women Human? There's one copy for inspection and order forms for you to buy them. And they're really fits about the Feminist Review and other feminist organisations as well. I'm afraid to say that two speakers have been unable to come at the last minute. Michael Moorcock has had passport problems. He's stranded in the US. He's apparently had visa problems and hasn't got his passport back. But he has sent a tribute to Andrew, which will be read out in the final session. And then Catherine Itzen, who was to have spoken in this first session now, has been unable to come as a result of bereavement. And both speakers send their apologies, and I'm sorry about that disappointment. Now, you may have noticed that we are recording the conference, and I hope that's all right with everybody. Everyone will be happy for their any questions that they raise to be recorded. And we should be making the recordings available on the website, so do look out for those if you'd like to see them. Now, I'm just going to pass you over in a moment to Catherine Eddy here from the Centre for the Study of Social Justice, who's going to be chairing the first session. But before I do that, I'll just leave us all with a quote from Andrea Dworkin. This is from 10 years ago in 1996. She said, "It is my hope that because of the political work of feminists over the last quarter of a century, these writings may at last be read and taken seriously. I'm asking men who come to these pages to walk through the looking glass. And I'm asking women to break the mirror. Once we all clean up the broken glass together, no easy task, we'll have a radical equality of rights and liberty." So let's hope that we can try and clear up the broken glass together and do that. So over to Catherine. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Claire. As Claire said, my name is Catherine Eddy, and I'm at the Centre for the Study of Social Justice, and I get to chair the first panel today. Let me just say a few words of introduction about our speakers. Sheila Jeffries is a professor at the University of Melbourne. She teaches and writes on queer politics, the international sex industry, and pornography, and has written a number of books on the history of sexuality and politics of sexuality. The most recent of these is her 2005 book, Beauty and Misogyny, Harmful Cultural Practices in the West, and her talk today is entitled Not Just About Pornography, The Radical Politics of Andrea Dworkin. And Professor Alison Assiter is a professor of feminist theory at the University of the West of England. Her research interests lie in Enlightenment philosophy, feminist theory, feminism and pornography, and feminist theories of knowledge. She's the author of a number of books on feminist theory, including Enlightened Women, Modernist Feminism in Postmodern Age. And today she will be speaking on pornography, its significance for feminism. And Professor Jeffries, I think you're going to be speaking first, and then we'll follow directly afterwards.